Always great to have your company on, Dwayne Tewitt. Always great to have Steve Hocking, the Geelong CEO, on the program. So let's get straight to him. Steve, welcome. Great to have you on, and congratulations on your season so far.
Thanks, Dwayne. Great to be on Friday afternoon. Just building into a game down at GMHBA Stadium against North Melbourne. Looking forward to it.
Hey, can I ask you about Tyson Stengel? What a success story he's been and the process you went through to get him and to get Eddie Betts as well to your club?
Yeah, look, it's just been a real credit to Tyson, Dwayne. He's he's clearly had to work through some challenges in the past, and he's come into our club. I think a lot of people sort of put it down to the fact that Eddie's here, but I think in fairness to Tyson, Tyson's embraced his new club in Geelong, and his teammates and so forth, and he's just got to work, and it's been really impressive to see him since he's stepped through the door, and he's added something quite different to our forward line. And as we saw last Saturday night, he reads the play. He's a really clever player. He's instinctive as well. And that, that last little bit of play that he did as the ball came out of the centre line. He was first onto us. And then Jack Henry's mark was just Tyson having an impact and putting himself in the right position more often than not. So it's a real credit to Tyson.
Stability of organisation and the leadership of guys at the top end of your player group, like, Selwood, Dangerfield, Hawkins, etc., play a role in that too?
Yeah, definitely, Dwayne. I think there's some, wherever you look within our group, there's a lot of experience, isn't there, that is available to him and how they train. And, he's an observational learner and, he picks things up really quickly. Nigel Latton's done a lot of work with him as well. And, as has Eddie also and his family. But, so I've sort of come back to the individual and just want to acknowledge that Tyson's embraced a new club, a new environment, and is doing his best to contribute.
And this wasn't meant to be a lead into Jordan DeGoey as a question, but is the same thing valid for Jordan DeGoey and others whereby players will hit a maturity point in their life where they can actually get things right, even though previously they've been getting things wrong?
Yeah, I think so, Dwayne. I think that all footballers, whether it be male or female players, they develop at different rates. And we're hearing this as far as Marcus Ashcroft's boy and considerations around him. There's been a lot of dialogue around just the amount of extra training sessions and so forth that he's doing. They all go about it differently. And for Tyson, this is his third club, and so he recognises that this is like a real opportunity for him to learn from those situations he's been in previously, and continue to develop, and that's what we're seeing from him. He's still got upside, which is really exciting.
Obviously, a big one Saturday night against North Melbourne. I know you're only taking it one week at a time, but the process of getting Melbourne back to Cadinia Park, how do you negotiate who you get for your home games?
Look, that's something that we work through with the AFL. And that process sort of starts about August in the season. So in this current season for 2023, and then you'll work through that right through September and October before it lands sort of late October into November. We're really keen on making sure that we have a mix of clubs down here, and certainly having Melbourne back down here, we're really excited about that. Round 23 last year, I think everyone remembers the Max Gawn mark and goal towards the end of that game and how it set them up. So it'll be really good to have North down here tomorrow night, and then obviously a really short turnaround into Melbourne on Thursday night, and that'll be a big game as well.
Didn't hear a peep out of anybody complaining about having a home game against Richmond at the MCG. Is there a change in philosophy there, Steve? Do you believe that that's just what you do now?
Dwayne, I think the really important thing for us all to recognise is that we're going to have a 40,000 seat stadium next year, which is just incredible. It's going to be the biggest regional stadium in Australia. So, you know, we're very thankful of all the investment from, you know, both federal and state as well. The current stage five is $142 million. So real step change for us. And off the back of that, we also have a footprint in Melbourne. You know, we've got really big support, strong support right throughout Melbourne as well. So we're a bit different to most of the clubs. You know, we're a regional club, and we've also got this opportunity in Melbourne as well. And so having the ability to have the nine home games here and play those couple of bigger games at the MCG has been really beneficial. You know, Saturday night was huge for us. Almost 60,000 people there, and we do need to win finals. That's where the grand final is held at the MCG. So balance of all of that's important for us.
So a 9-2 split is something that you're happy with going forward as well, even when you do get the 40,000 capacity stadium up and running.
Yeah, look, it's certainly something that we're committed to, and the board as well. I think it's really important, and so do our board and our executive here, that we have a presence in Melbourne.
So you had a big community day as well. A number of clubs are doing it. So the Cats community system is a pretty tight one because it's a country club. You raised over $1 million, I understand.
Yeah, Dwayne, look, it's quite extraordinary. It's just amazing how giving our people are. It's exceptional. We ran that on Tuesday, 12 hours. We had an open training session here. We had over 2,000 people attend that open training session. We set a target of $1 million for our community fundraiser, and we hit 1.2. That giving day, the funds will go towards running our and delivering our community programs for the next 3 years. We've got 10 programs, everything from Healthy Heroes to Cyber Cats, Read the Play. It's enormous what we do, and our players are part of all of that. You know, we think that that contributes to them leading balanced lives and making sure that they recognise that others in the community need support and ongoing support. So we're really thankful of all our members and all the donors on the day, Dwayne. It's quite exceptional to be able to do that 1.2 million in 12 hours.
Yeah, congratulations on that. Congratulations as well, the way the club handled the Tom Stewart, and Tom handled it himself. I know he wasn't the victim, so let's start that before we get a heap on the text. But in some ways, Steve, you can't win. You admit fault. You sound like you're trying to do it to help you get a leaner sentence. You don't admit fault, try and get your guy off, and you're criticised and damned for doing that. So, I mean, did you handle it well? Could you have handled it better? It seemed like, from the outside, you handled it pretty well.
Look, I think the most important thing, Dwayne, in these situations is that you're actually authentic. I think we all saw at quarter time last Saturday night that Chris and also Tom embraced, and part of that was led from a place of care as far as Chris goes, knowing that that would weigh on Tom's mind, what he'd put Dion through. So our minds go to the impact on Dion, definitely, and I know Tom went there really quickly. So, Chris's support of that, Tom's response to that, our players' response, then how Tom worked through it within a game, that was a learning experience for Tom to have that experience as far as all the Richmond supporters, and understandably they weren't happy or supportive of him throughout the game, but he worked his way through that, and then into the week, the way that Tom has responded, it's not about trying to get a reduction in sentence, any of that. It's just come from a place of authenticity and care. And I think Tom handled it as best he can, true to himself, and Chris wrapped himself around him, supported him as well.
When you were head of football, you would have gone through the discussion about a send-off rule or not, I'm sure. The process that you did go through when it was thrown at your office in previous years?
Yeah, look, that was certainly something that occasionally came up. It tends to come up around these types of incidents. I think the system works well currently the way it is, and I don't think there's a need for send off. And my understanding is I think the AFL have been pretty strong on that as well.
Who will replace Gilley? You're not putting your hat in the ring?
No, Dwayne, look, I was very fortunate to have the role I had at the AFL. I'm very thankful of the time I spent there. It's certainly, I enjoyed it. The people within the game, and it's different when you get to AFL House because you're actually part of the governing body. I thoroughly enjoyed my time, but I'm very, very happy here at the Geelong Football Club. And I know there'll be members and supporters out there that will be saying that I'm just trying to blow you off on that one. But I can tell you that I'm not going anywhere. I'm here at Geelong, loving what I'm doing, enjoying being back at our club, and have no plans of putting my hat into that one. It's a big job. I think Gil's going to be really difficult to replace, but I'm sure there'll be someone out there that will look forward to taking on that responsibility.
How important is an internal knowledge of footy like a Brendan Gale or Tom Harley would bring as opposed to an internal knowledge or a knowledge of bigger business?
Look, Dwayne, I think where the game's heading, you have a look at all the broadcast rights and just all the emerging changes in society coming out of COVID and so forth. We now have flexible work days. Like there's been a lot of change across so many different industries, and I think from the AFL's point of view, it's in really good hands. You've got Richard Goyder that will lead that. There's a lot of care from a commission level. And they will they'll work through it as they do. They'll take their time with it and make the right choice. But I think you could go either way. Many people have a view that you need to know football, but I think the way the game is headed, it's growing so rapidly, and it is it's a huge industry. You have a look at 18 AFLW teams. Coming into, we've got two seasons that are going to be delivered in the 1 year. The skills are changing all the time.
Do you ever see a mid-season trade period that would have come across your desk in years prior to?
I hope so, Dwayne. Yeah, I do. I think that that's part of what we've just spoken about as far as that CEO role. I think there's a lot of opportunity for our game to continue to grow, gone are the days the inability for us to process a player leaving a club mid-season. I think everyone's maturing on that front and understands that members, fans like that element of the game. The mid-season rookie draft, I remember when we looked at introducing that, Dwayne, and there was a lot of commentary that that won't have any success. Second-tier players that haven't completed pre-season at AFL level wouldn't have the ability to come and impact games. And you could reel off probably a dozen names now that have had an impact, and people like John Noble and Will Snelling and a host of others, Marlon Pickett, have had really good careers, and it's just fabulous. The game should be available to everybody that wants to play it out there. And if you're good enough, there should be more mechanisms for that to happen so that you've got that vertical movement. So I think if you have a look at the success of that mid-season rookie draft, there's more we can be doing.
Are the top-end players paid enough, do you think, Steve? Will we see a bit of a salary cap explosion? Do we need one in coming years?
Look, Dwayne, I respect your question, but I think that's something that the AFL are dealing with currently through the CBA, that will be worked through by the relevant people. It's certainly not something that I've got a strong view on.
Let me ask you one that is relevant then. Mitch Duncan's 250th. He's almost. He's an underrated, high-value player.
Yeah, he's been exceptional, hasn't he, Dwayne? We drafted him with pick 28 in the 2009 National Draft out of East Perth Football Club. And I think he showed up with a few highlights in his hair back then. But, you know, he's been part of our 2011 Premiership team. He's had a really big impact. I think back to Corey Enright, and I remember Corey Enright being part of our sort of early days when I was working through the football department. Corey was someone that had a great ability to be able to relate to all different levels of the playing squad, right down to even the first years. And that's what I've seen with Mitch Duncan. You know, Mitch asks the right questions of people, whether they're in leadership positions or they're their first gamers. He's got a high level of care. I've seen that demonstrated, right throughout, and I think he's learnt that, off a range of people here, that he's developed his own style around that. And we've got Jeremy Cameron that played his 200th on Saturday night, which was fantastic to see him. We've got Isaac Smith. He's got his 250th coming up, so he's in pretty good company, Mitch. But he's been a really, really good and influential Geelong player, and a highly skilled player as well. He's kicking the lead.
Steve, great to have you on the program. I really appreciate you making some time to have a chat. So thanks again, congratulations again, and look forward to running into you again soon.
Thanks, Dwayne.